The Los Angeles Dodgers have lost 6 of their last 9 and all 3 of their last 3 series. Are they in trouble? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here with your boy Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. I have alongside me Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the X Machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And yeah, we got a packed show today. We're going to talk about the games from yesterday. We're going to look ahead to the games today. We're going to talk about some of the more popular walk-up songs in baseball this year. And of course, we're going to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers and their so far unsuccessful path to repeat for the World Series championship. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Send the show to your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And if you are interested in having a newsletter sent to your email inbox, go to the link in the description for the First Pitch newsletter. Past couple days, there has not been one. I haven't felt great at all, and this is the first time I've sat in front of the computer since ending the live stream on Saturday. So, yeah, I apologize for that. Hopefully, we can pick that back up tomorrow. But, yeah, how you doing, Drew?
Not too bad. Ready for another week. Love the Reds are at 500, so, you know, I'm over the moon right now.
You know it. Yeah, the Reds are at 500. Hunter Green is getting what he deserves that we've been preaching for quite some time now. And yeah, it's been a good weekend for the Cincinnati. And I think they swept.
They swept the Pirates. Sweep. They were quite. It was quite a commanding sweep. It was pretty. It was nice.
Good old sweep. Love a sweep. But and speaking of sweeps, we'll go ahead and jump into yesterday's ball games. The Blue Jays and the Orioles. Blue Jays win that one 7-6 in 10 innings. Blue Jays are now 9-7, and the Orioles fall to 6-9. Don't know if any of y'all saw that, but at the end of the game, Jeff Hoffman finished the game. He actually got the win, but he blew a kiss to the Orioles dugout after he finished the game because during the offseason, the Orioles were the first team to sign him, and then they said, oh, your physical's not great, so we're not going to go through with this contract. Sorry about it. And now the Blue Jays have picked him up, and that physical not being great has led him to a 2-0 record with a 0.96 ERA. So, yeah, but he did blow a kiss at the Orioles dugout, and I love that, and I really wish Jeff Hoffman was still a Philly. Giants at Yankees. Giants win that one 5-4 to move to 11-4. The Yankees fall to 8-7. Logan Webb doing Logan Webb things as usual, and Carlos Rodon doing Carlos Rodon things as usual. And I wanted to kind of pull this up for a little more context here because people generally remember the Carlos Rodon from 2021 and 2022, the 2 years where he had ERAs sub 3. His only other season with an ERA of 3.75 or better is 2015, and it was exactly 3.75. That is his third best ERA in a season. He has qualified for the ERA title only 3 times in his career. He could do it this year, but going into this year, he's qualified for the ERA title only 3 times. And if he did not have those two really, really good seasons in 2021 and 2022, his ERA would be above 4.5. So Carlos Rodon sucks. Royals at Guardians. Royals win that one 4-2. Royals are now 8-8. Guardians are 8-7. And of course, the Pirates at the Reds. We kind of touched on this one already, but the Reds win that one in a shutout, 4-0. Hunter Green now 2-1 with a 0.98 ERA. Reds are 8-8. Pirates are 5-11. Any thoughts on that game, Drew?
It's nice playing the Pirates, and it's nice beating the Pirates as they should. The Reds have won now 6 out of their last 8, dating back to that second game in the Milwaukee series. Love what I'm seeing. You know, obviously beating up on the Pirates is what you're supposed to do. If you're the Reds, you want to be better than the Pirates. You want to be better than all the other bottom-dwelling clubs, and then you go from there. Hunter Green is a monster. He's in his last 14 starts, he's pitched 85 and a third. He's got 97 strikeouts. He's got a 1.05 ERA and a 0.71 whip. In his last 18 and two-thirds innings, he hasn't allowed a single run. Hunter Green right now is pitching like pitching as well as any in baseball, and it's awesome to see. He's finally attacking the zone. He's overpowering these hitters, and he's still well over 100 miles an hour on his fastball. And you know, if it wasn't for this lineup, this rotation, the Reds' season would probably already be lost. You know, I saw that Codify Baseball tweet. The Reds have the worst lineup in baseball in terms of OPS at 65. If it's not Ellie De La Cruz doing Ellie De La Cruz thing, the Reds are in trouble right now. And they need to get that lineup sorted out because, you know, we'll get to it soon. But they've got the Mariners coming to town, and the Mariners have won, what, 4 in a row? It's not gonna work against Luis Castillo proper.
Yes, the Reds definitely need to get the offense figured out. Like I said, it was a 4-0 shutout and only 6 hits for the Reds in that game. So the offense has certainly been an issue to this point, but you expect those guys to turn it around, especially with the lineup, the young guys that they have, and Drew's boy Austin Hayes might be coming back soon. So maybe he can get a spark going. Who knows? Yeah. Braves at the Rays. Rays won that one 8-3 down there at George Steinbrenner Field. They moved to 7-8. Braves fall to 4-11, and Chris Sale might be washed. He is now 0-2 with a 6.63 ERA. He might have saved his best season for last year, and now that might be it. But there's still a lot of baseball to go, and you do expect Chris Sale to be better than he has been to this point. Marlins hosting the Nationals, and the Marlins win that one 11-4. Mackenzie Gore falls to 1-2 with a 3.52 ERA. Marlins move to 8-7. Nationals are 6-9. And I just wanted to touch on James Wood here because James Wood is having that breakout season I expected from him so far this year. So far this season, he's hitting 259, 385, 593 with 5 home runs. He has 11 walks and 20 strikeouts. But he's just, over his last 7 games, he's hitting 292, 485, 833 with 9 walks, 6 strikeouts, and 4 home runs. So he's on some kind of heater right now, and this is kind of more of what you expect from James Wood than what you got from him last year. And it's crazy that he's 22 or 23 years old, so he's only going to get better from here. And James Wood is going to be one of the game's best in pretty quickly. Angels at the Astros. Astros take that one 7-3. They are now 7-8. Angels are 9-6. Twins hosting the Tigers. Twins 5-1 win there. They've moved to 5-11, and the Tigers are now 9-6. Casey Mize got the loss in that one, 2-1, 260 ERA. Red Sox at the White Sox. Garrett Crochet had a no-hitter going into the 8th inning of this one. Could not complete the no-hitter, but the Red Sox did complete the win and kept from being swept by their pale brethren in the White Sox. They won that one 3-1. Red Sox are now 8-9, White Sox 4-11, and Crochet has a 1.38 ERA. Phillies at the Cardinals. We can skip over that one. I'm just kidding. Phillies lost 7-0, shut out on Wheeler Day, of all things, and they made Matthew Liberatore look like a Cy Young winner, and the Cardinals are now 7-8, and the Phillies are 9-6 and have been just absolutely abhorrent on the road. Mets at Athletics. Mets won this one 8-0. Kodai Senga had a very good start. And it's just continuing the Mets' run of weak opponents to start the year, which will continue until next Monday when they finally play an opponent that is a playoff contender. But they beat the Athletics in this one 8-0. Mets are now 10-5. Athletics are 6-10. Rockies at the Padres. Padres won 6-0, hosting the Rockies. And they are now 13-3. And the Rockies fall to 3-12. Are the Padres the best team in baseball?
I'd say so right now. They're playing as well as any, and even better than that. Love to see it. They bounced back from last year's unfortunate season. So, no, I like it. I like seeing the Padres do well. And, you know, just like we were talking a couple shows back, the Cubs, their stretch of a rough schedule to close out April, it's Padres Cubs these next 3 days, and that'll be a fun one.
Yes, that will indeed be a fun one. And, you know, the Padres have done it over the last 4 or 5 days without Jackson Merrill, who is on the injured list. So, scary team over there in San Diego. Speaking of a scary team, the Seattle Mariners beat the Texas Rangers 3-1. They moved to 8-8. The Rangers fall to 9-7. Logan Gilbert gets the win. Nathan Eovaldi gets another loss. And Andres Munoz picks up his 6th save of the year. D-backs at the Brewers. D-backs win that one 5-2. D-backs are now 9-7. Brewers are 8-8. And finally, Sunday night baseball game, which Sunday night baseball got it right last night. Like they did not the week prior. But the Cubs and the Dodgers, and the Cubs won 4-2 to move to 11-7. And the Dodgers fall to 11-6. We're going to get to it a little bit later in the show, but this was the third consecutive series that the Dodgers have lost. This is the first one at home of those three that the Dodgers have lost, but they have lost 6 of their last 9 games after starting the year 8-0. So a pretty rough stretch that Major League Baseball's favorite team has been on of late. And yeah, any other final thoughts on yesterday's game, Drew?
The Cubs, very impressive in that series. After dropping the first one 3-0, they uncorked it on the Dodgers 16-0. And most of that, the overwhelming majority of that, was up against the bullpen. Roky Sasaki only gave up 1 run.
Yeah.
And then obviously last night, 4-2. Cubs are, they're showing they're the real deal. I mean, they could also just be playing the Dodgers when they're about to hit a low point in the schedule, but that's a good team. That was a good series. And I mean, the Cubs outscored them 20-5 over a 3-game set, but at least they took 2 of 3, unlike the Reds who would outscore the Rangers 70-2 or something like that and still lost 2 out of 3. So good on them.
Yes. The Cubs, their offense showed up and showed out, especially in those last 2 games. But speaking of offenses showing up and showing out, we got a tweet on Saturday from Brooksgate, who we've used before on this show, one of their tweets. I don't have a screenshot of this one to put on the screen for those watching on YouTube, but it's the most popular MLB player walk-up songs this season. And I don't know if I'm just old or if I'm out of touch with the youth of today. Hello, my fellow youths. But I think I know the Johnny Cash song. Well, let's go through the list first. So the most popular MLB player walk-up song this season is White Horse by Chris Stapleton. Then you've got God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash in second. And then you have a 1-2-3-4-5-way tie with The Stroke by Billy Squire, God's Country by Blake Shelton, Ain't No Love in Oklahoma by Luke Combs, Fane by Travis Scott featuring Playboi Carti, Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. And then the rest of these are tied for whatever's next after that. Rooster by Alice in Chains. Yeah, here comes the rooster. That's Zach Wheeler's song. Monaco by Bad Bunny. Back on My BS. Big X, The Plug. Loud Thunder Heavy Rain by Cody Jinx. Work by Gangstar. I've never heard of Gangstar. I've never heard half these people, to be honest. Alive, parenthesis, Nightmare by Kid Cudi featuring Rattata, the Pokemon. Cowgirls by Morgan Wallen featuring Ernest, because it's in all caps. And then Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. Are there any surprises? Do you know any of these songs that I don't know? I don't know most of these songs here, Drew.
There's a few that I know. I know the Luke Combs song because I think he made that for the Twister movie. Love Chris Stapleton. Obviously know the Johnny Cash and the Billy Squire song because, you know, no one knows what The Stroke means, but it's provocative and it gets the people going. Rooster by Alice in Chains. I love that. I love Alice in Chains. If you give me any kind of hype over the early 90s grunge scene, I'm there. I love it. Absolutely. But yeah, you go further down the list, I haven't the foggiest. I know Edge of 17, obviously Stevie Nicks, which is interesting as a walk-up song. I did not expect to see that on the list. But I don't really do much Bad Bunny, Big X The Plug. I don't know the Cody Jenks song, and I definitely don't hang around the Morgan Wallen crowd, if you know what I mean. So it's interesting. I mean, with obviously so many Major League Baseball players, both pitchers and batters, like, you're going to have a weird wide variety of walk-up songs. And like when I'm listening on the radio, I can tell when certain guys are up, because Spencer Steer has a song that reminds me of that Sam Smith song, but it's definitely not. I don't know why. It just reminds me of it, and it's just weird. I love looking at walk-up songs. It's always fun because players sometimes will change them. I remember back when Jay Bruce, I think, was a Red, he struggled there for a while, and then he changed his walk-up song to Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. I love guys when they have a little sense of humor about them. But this is interesting. I didn't expect White Horse by Chris Stapleton to be the most popular.
Yeah, that is crazy. Something I noticed here is to point out Rooster, the Alice in Chains song. The four players that have Rooster are all starting pitchers. It's Garrett Crochet, Carlos Rodon, Zach Wheeler, and Shane Boz are the four players to have Rooster as their walk-up song. And you know, you talked about players that have very specific walk-up songs, and you know, if you're listening on the radio before they even announce who it is, you know who's coming up to bat, and that's with the Philadelphia Phillies. One of Kyle Schwarber's multiple walk-up songs is Cult of Personality by Living Color. And so as a wrestling fan who has Kyle Schwarber on the team that he follows the most, it's nice to hear CM Punk's walk-up song anytime Kyle Schwarber is coming up to bat. And then, of course, I think everybody that has ever watched a baseball game, a Phillies game over the past few years, knows when Bryce Stott's coming up to bat, because he's feeling A-O, A-O-K, and the entire crowd is singing. And it's just it's a party in Philadelphia when Bryce Stott comes to bat. But yeah, if you were a baseball player, Drew, what would your walk-up song be?
I've given this so much thought ever since being in middle school, because I'm like, I'm going to make it, and then this is going to be it. It's going to be awesome. So as a pitcher, I would probably go a similar route as what they go with Rooster, in the sense that there's a buildup, and then it's, hitting. There's a song called Machines by Crown the Empire, and it's a similar idea. There's this build up, and then, you know, about 20-25 seconds in, it's this scream. It's this metal scream. And like I always imagine myself busting out of the bullpen as it screams, and it's just like, yeah, it'd be awesome. As a batter, I've gone a bunch of different ways. I think I've kind of gone toward, there's a band called Stop Drop Rewind, and they released an album earlier this year, and there's one song, I believe it's from Luminescence, there's this bridge section that's a weird time signature, and I would do that one as I'm walking up, because obviously you only get a small snippet, and it's just a fun little bit of music, honestly, because I'm a weird music nerd, and they love to do all these fun things. What about you? You've given this much thought?
Yeah. So back in the PlayStation 3 days, when you could download music onto the console, and that's the way that you could put custom music on MLB The Show. I edited down, like, it took me hours to get just perfect, and I edited down this song called it's a song by the band 10 Years, and it's called Chasing the Rapture, and it's like I had a home run song, so whenever my player would hit a home run, it played a home run song where it was just like coming in hard, like, we're comfortable killers, and because I killed the baseball, and and then it's a pretty good song. I think another choice of mine would be a Killswitch Engage song, This Fire Burns.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Because it's just heavy. It's just straight heavy, and it's Killswitch, and you can't go wrong with Killswitch Engage. But and then there's of course a couple of pop punk songs you can go with that are good choices to kind of culture the baseball crowd a little bit more than they are. but yeah, there's a ton of music out there. I like the loud and heavy Cody Jinx song. The first time we heard that one, I think it was a player on the South Alabama Jaguars that had that as their walk-up song. And my wife being from Texas, and Cody Jinx is a Texas country artist, she was like, this is my new favorite baseball player. And so yeah, it's anytime we hear a player with loud and heavy as their walk-up song, it's a notable event in the Brock household. And of course, love the Rooster, like you said, Alice in Chains, 90s grunge. You can't go wrong with the early 90s grunge, man. Alice in Chains, Nirvana,
Soundgarden, yeah, Pearl yeah. Jam. Like if you can understand what they're saying, wrong era. Like it's garbled. It's how about your hair? How about a head of me? That's great. I love it. Like Pearl Jam, give it to me. Don't give me the subtitles. It's all vibes. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But there's some of the most talented musicians that were out there. And it's super unfortunate that guys like Kurt Cobain and Lane Staley had their lives cut short. And then obviously Chris Cornell more recently. But yeah, no, that was always my go-to. Feel good, which is kind of concerning. Music. like I love listening to it. It's so much fun. It's, you know, it's dark, it's heavy, it's you know, the lyrics mean something if you care to look them up, because you can't figure it out from when they're singing it.
yes, you are spot on with that. And there's one more band while we're talking about music I would like to give a little plug to. It's one of my favorite bands, as well as one of the Crabtree household's favorite bands. If you're out there and you haven't heard of them, look up Mariana's Trench. They're fantastic. Joshua Ramsey is the front man. His voice is just beautiful. He's got one of the best voices in music, and he has written a bunch of songs. He actually wrote I think it was Call Me Maybe. He was one of the writers on Call Me Maybe. I always get it and Friday mixed up with the Rebecca Black song. But yeah, he was one of the writers on that hit song. But check out Mariana Trench if you haven't heard of him before. But yeah, one team that isn't playing music that's too pretty right now, and it's is kind of as ugly as that segue was, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're not doing great. Because as I talked about earlier, they've lost 6 of their last 9 games, 2 of 3 in each of their last 3 series. 2 of those series was on the road. 2 of those series did come against playoff contenders. They have not been, I mean, they haven't necessarily been bad. They've been competitive in some of the games. Of course, they weren't competitive in the 16-0 shutout from the Cubs on Saturday. But they've been competitive in other games. Is it time for Major League Baseball's favorite team to start panicking?
I would say that there's a little bit of puckering going on, that they're getting a little tighter. I do think that being Major League Baseball's favorite team, there's going to be a little bit of fun when it comes to whether or not they get like borderline calls, et cetera, et cetera. Not saying any conspiracy level, you know, stuff. It's not like, you know, the SEC and ESPN where it's obvious, but you know, whatever. But no, this stretch of games, it's been, you know, losing 6 of 9, not nice at all. You know, they obviously opened up with the Cubs, and then they beat up on the Tigers and the Braves. Like, good for them. But you lose 2 of 3 against the Nationals, who are obviously better than anticipated, but also they're not the Phillies level. They're not the Cubs level. I would say if they lose 2 of 3 against the Rockies, we can definitely, like, we can have the panic button on screen, and we can just smack that thing. because if you lose two of three against the Rockies, I'm sorry, it's time to sell the team for parts, especially as the Dodgers, because it doesn't get too much. It doesn't get easier because you got at the Rangers, at the Cubs for the finish the other two games, but then you got the Pirates and the Miami Marlins. So I think that there's some puckering going on, but I don't think there's any panicking just yet, because the schedule to close out April is definitely favorable in the Dodgers' favor. That didn't sound right, but they should be okay. Then when May kicks off, obviously they've got a long road trip, Atlanta, Miami, which should be fine, and then the Diamondbacks. Now, I'm not panicking yet, because the Cubbies and Phillies are good teams. But I do think that they need to get it together, because giving up 16 runs in one game, when one run was scored on your starter, I'm no, rocket, surgeon, but that's not going to win you too many ball games.
Yeah, it's crazy looking at their stats. Then I'm looking at them for the whole season. I'm not looking at them over the past week, but they've pretty much on the whole performed as expected for the whole season. Even Will Smith has been their best hitter so far this year. He has a 185 OPS plus, and he leads baseball with a 481 on base percentage. And then, you've got Tommy Edman, who is tied for the major league lead in home runs with six, who entered this season with a career high of 13 home runs in a single season. And he's already got right at half of that. And he's got a 143 OPS plus. And then the guys that you expect, of course, Freddie Freeman's been hurt for, or was on the IL for a good bit of it. He's only played in six games, but he still has a 135 OPS plus. And then Shohei has a 155 OPS plus, and Mookie has a 152 OPS plus. So it's not like you're getting the offense isn't performing on the whole, because they are. And then at the same time, the rotation, while it's held together by, sticky tape and glue, and it will be doing so more throughout the rest of the season, the guys have performed as you expect them to. Roky Sasaki's been better than expected after his rough two starts. First two starts, his last two starts have been very good, and he's got a 116 ERA plus. And then Yoshinobu Yamamoto has been a Cy Young contender to this point in the season. He has a 308 ERA plus. Dustin freaking May has a 470 ERA plus through his two starts this year. And the bullpen, the guys that you expect to be good in the bullpen have been good in the bullpen, except for Luis Garcia, who has a 53 ERA plus. All 1, 2, 3, 4 of their other normal relievers that they turn to the most have ERA pluses over 100. And so they've gotten the contributions across the board. They just haven't come at the right times yet, essentially. The offense hasn't hit at the right times. And, of course, you're not going to do much in a 16-0 ball game. Once you get down 8-0, more often than not, ball game's over, especially late in the ball game, as it was when the Cubs took their lead on the bullpen, as you said. I also don't think it's time for the Dodgers to panic yet. I think it's just a rough week for them, and I do expect them to turn things around over the next week or so, because again, it's the Dodgers. They have the Rockies coming into town tonight. And so they get to beat up on one of the weakest teams in Major League Baseball this week and kind of get their mindset back right and get back on the right track.
Yeah, I fully expect the Dodgers to make some noise still in the NL West, because even if the Padres are on fire, they still got to play the Dodgers a good handful of times, because the NL West is so ridiculously deep. It's the NL West and NL East is just not fair. It's just hilarious when you juxtapose those two against the NL Central. It's just hilarious. It's like they're not even playing the same sport. I fully expect the Dodgers to figure it out, as unfun as that is. But yeah, they're not going to lose too many more baseball games 16-0. They're Pythagorean win loss because of that is all out of whack. The run scored versus runs allowed has them expected to be 9-9 because they've scored 74 and they've allowed 74, like perfectly balanced is all things should be. But I am definitely not worried about the Dodgers just yet. Now, if we get to the All-Star break and they have dropped, 5, 6 more series like this, then we can really start having that discussion and crown the Padres as the NL West NL West champions. They'll be all right, and they can't suck with the payroll that they have. It just physically is not possible.
I agree. I think that they'll be all right, and they'll turn things around. And you know, there's a pitcher going in one of today's ball games that I expect to turn things around from his last start, and that's Paul Skeens, because it's Paul Skeens Day, Drusev. That's the first game of the day here on Monday. Again, no day games. I hate it, man. No day games. My son's on spring break this week, so I am not leaving the house pretty much all week, because my son's on spring break and I work from home. So it's no day games is going to make it not a great week. Nationals at the Pirates, game one of the day, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. It is Skeens Day. Pirates look to move to 6-11, while the Nationals look to move to 7-9. 5 minutes later, the Giants at the Phillies will get started. Giants are 11-4. The Phillies are 9-6, looking to join the slew of teams that has reached double-digit wins. And they've got their ace on the mound, Taijuan Walker. So it's going to be a fun game out there in Philly with Taijuan Walker against the San Francisco Giants. 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the Rays. Red Sox look to move to 500 at 9-9, and the Rays also look to move to 500 at 8-8. Shane Boz will be here coming the rooster whenever he makes his start later on tonight for the Rays. And also at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, the Kansas City Royals at the New York Yankees. Royals look to move above 500 and get to 9-8, while the Yankees look to move to 9-7. Seth Lugo at Carlos Carrasco in that one. Braves at the Blue Jays, 7:07 p.m. Eastern. Grant Holmes on the mound versus Lucas, and the Braves look to move to 5-11, while the Blue Jays look to join the slew of teams with double-digit wins on the year. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, the Mets continue their week schedule to start the year as they go to face the 5-11 Minnesota Twins. Mets look to move to 11-5. They have Clay Holmes on the mound versus Joe Ryan in yet another week matchup for the New York Mets to start the year. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Detroit Tigers at the Milwaukee Brewers. Tariq Skubal on the mound for the Tigers as they look to move to 10-6, while the Brewers look to move to 9-8. 7:45 p.m. Eastern, Houston Astros at the St. Louis Cardinals. It's Framber Valdez Day out there in St. Louis. Both teams look to move to 500 at 8-8, and Sonny Gray is going for the Cardinals. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, the first of the two West Coast games on tap for today. Cubs at the Padres. That is going to be a fantastic series between two powerhouses this year. 11-7 Cubs versus the 13-3 Padres. Jameson Taillon versus Dylan Cease. Both pitchers have ERAs above 6. Taillon's is 6.06. Cease is 7.98. But Dylan Cease shaved his beard, so he might be on the come up now, because Dylan Cease shaved his beard and now he looks like a child. But both teams look to improve their division lead in that one. And finally, at 10:10 p.m. Eastern, the Colorado Rockies at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Antonio Senzatella at Dustin May. Rockies look to move to 4-12, while the Dodgers look to move to 12-6, and of course, get back off to Schneid. What game, outside of the Cubs and Padres, is there any other game on today's slate that you are looking forward to?
Yeah, this Cubs-Padres series is going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm looking at that Astros-Cardinals series, because those are two teams that have two very different vibes going on right now. The Cardinals are just happy to be there because they are kind of in the middle of they're trying to rebuild, which is foreign to the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't think that I remember ever in my life watching baseball thinking the Cardinals are in the middle of a rebuild. even after they got rid of Pujols, and but then they brought in Goldie, et cetera, like they were always trying to contend. And it doesn't feel like they're trying too hard to contend. But even then, they're 7-8 at this point. And then obviously you've got the Astros who expect to contend. You know, the AL West is comparable to the NL Central in the sense that you don't really have too many teams that are pulling away right now. I'm definitely looking forward to that series. Sonny Gray has been pretty good to start, and then obviously Framber Valdez is Framber Valdez. I'm definitely looking forward to that one since my Red Legs are off today. I guess they have to give Seattle time to fly into Cincinnati or something like that. Whatever. It's a surprisingly good slate of games here on Monday, even if not everybody is playing. Happy Paul Skeens Day to anybody and everybody who celebrates.
Yeah, indeed. It is a good slate of games. There is a lot of good series taking place early in the week. And speaking of the Astros, next up in my shirt rotation was my Lance McCullers Jr. shirt. So it's not LMJ Day, but, you know, is what it is. I do have athletic apparel, people. I promise it's not just band t-shirts. But, yeah, it's a good slate of games. It's going to be a fun week of baseball because it's always fun when there's baseball, and it's always fun here at First Pitch. So thank you for joining us today. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this one goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Check out the First Pitch newsletter, which hopes to be back in circulation tomorrow. The link for that is in the description. It is free to subscribe to the newsletter, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscriptions because they help keep the bills on around here. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.